This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio. You're listening to the Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. Dr. George is on her way. She had a little traffic problem getting here, so she should be here momentarily. But we want to ask you to continue to listen as the subject that Dr. George will be talking about, and she just walked in the door, is our vaccination and what we're being told about vaccines. And I guess this is all prompted, Dr. George, by this quote-unquote outbreak of measles. But in doing some checking, when I was growing up 400 years ago, there was no vaccine for measles. And in the United States, when I grew up, it was like, go get exposed to them so you can get it over with.
Yeah.
And now it's a big deal. 100 have died or whatever. Back then, in the 50s, you'd have maybe 500 die. The pediatricians, I wouldn't say they laughed at it by any means, but we didn't make a horrendous deal out of it. It was, you're a kid, you're going to get measles, you're going to get mumps. I did find out you don't stand on your head with mumps like Johnny Carson was doing on television, because that tends to really screw things up. But beyond that, it was just part of being a kid.
Well, they actually used to have parents with multiple children have them all, you know, hang around each other so they can all get it at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we need to look at this historically. Technically speaking, vaccinations are not a problem. They actually work on a theoretical level. I mean, certainly there are vaccinations that people should definitely take, things like smallpox, tetanus toxin vaccine for tetanus, and other life-threatening diseases. If you're going abroad, you're going to Africa, for example, you need to take things like yellow fever and things of that nature. But it's become a cottage industry in the last 10 or 15 years. And I think the most important thing that people need to understand is that the government passed a law under the Bush administration that these vaccine makers cannot be sued, that they're held harmless. So whatever happens to the vaccine, it's a pass. And after that, I remember this. This was when I was in medical school. You could barely get a vaccine at that point because but manufacturers weren't making any money on it. Then they passed this law, and it was an explosion of vaccines. I mean, who stands to gain and follow the money? I understand that there's certain things that are necessary, but this has become tyrannical now. We have doctors like Dr. Tenpenny from the National Vaccine, I forget the name of it. I'll look it up for you in a second. But she's been doing yeoman's work about vaccines and injured children for years now. She actually had to cancel a speech in Australia because of death threats. I mean, this is what it's come to. So this is not a rational conversation anymore. Anybody who raises honest questions gets shot down, like they're trying to kill the entire population. And if you really think about this critically, if these vaccines were end-all, be-all, over 90% of our population is vaccinated against these diseases. Mumps, measles, for example. How can there possibly be an outbreak the way they describe if we're vaccinated and protected? And they don't tell you certain things, like some of the people who got measles were actually vaccinated against them. And in the insert, if you bother to read these things, they tell you that they've never really been tested, that if you do get the mumps or measles vaccine, there's a chance that you can actually spread it. The flu vaccine, especially the mist, which you take in the nose, which is heat-killed or partially live virus, you can actually continue to get the flu, and not only that, be infectious to other people for upwards of 3 weeks after you've taken the vaccine. How protective really are these things? That's what people need to ask themselves and ask the question. Initially, pregnant women were not supposed to take vaccines, and now all of a sudden they're trying to shoot pregnant women up 24/7 with these vaccines, and that is unacceptable. And if you read the labels that even the manufacturers are saying should not be used in pregnant women, you know, we don't know what happens to unborn children. They're telling you that this is experimental. and they're acting like this is completely safe. Nothing is completely safe in medicine. There is no medicine that you don't have the potential risk of having a side effect. So when they use these all-or-none pronouncements on TV about it's perfectly safe, you should do it, you're a bad parent, your children should be taken away from you, you should be arrested, question this, because it's not true. Everything has a risk and benefit profile. I think there should be choice. If you want to give your child every conceivable vaccine known to man, have at it. Good for you. But if you don't, then you should not be forced into doing it. And if there is a problem and the child has an injury, someone should be held accountable for it. You should not have to bear the cost, the emotional cost of your child having a reaction and then everybody going, oh, well, too bad. You know, that doesn't work for me. If they're going to mandate it, then they should rescind that law that these vaccine companies are going to be held harmless and blameless. I tell you one thing, it would stop all of the hullabaloo and the push to vaccinate people, and it would stop the next vaccine down the road coming out. I mean, there's like every day you turn around, there's some vaccine coming out. The Ebola one is down the road. If they can mandate this, trust and believe they'll mandate everybody taking an Ebola vaccine, which has never been tested, which God knows what will happen to you if you actually take it, or the HIV vaccine, all because they care. They care about making money. I'm not sure they care about us so much. And the people who get on these bandwagons don't read anything. I don't want Megyn Kelly to tell me what I should do for my child. Who gives her the right to say that, well, maybe we should have Big Brother step in and actually mandate this? How idiotic of a statement really is that? I wonder if she gets her children vaccinated. Dr. Oz doesn't. We already know that. He's admitted it. But the people who push it, it's good enough for us, but it's never good enough for them. I mean, does anybody have a question mark about this? I certainly do.
Dr. George, I didn't realize why. I sort of did, but didn't know the terminology exactly. In a vaccine, for lack of better words, a communal vaccine or an individual vaccine, when the nurse goes to the bottle and sticks the needle into the bottle and takes out a syringe full, as opposed to the syringe already being prepped with the vaccine or whatever, what's the difference in those two?
It's technique, really. I mean, it's the same thing. One's a single dose, pre-filled vial or a pre-filled syringe set, which is easy to do. You're sure you're not going to cross-contaminate. You should trust your healthcare worker, I would hope. But people are human. People make mistakes. You're giving hundreds of vaccines a day. If you don't do proper aseptic technique where you throw out whatever you did before, alcohol the top, make sure absolutely nothing touches the top so you don't introduce it when you stick the needle in. All those things are variables. And we've got everybody trying to push vaccines. You get it at Walmart. You get it at these five-and-dime stores practically.
I'm waiting for the lemonade vaccine stand.
Listen, if they mandate this, you may have that. I mean, this is a very tyrannical system at this point. For some healthcare workers, not doctors, nurses, even the vendors that actually sell medical supplies to these hospitals, some hospitals are forcing these guys to get flu shots. What kind of moronic thing is that? That doesn't fly. I mean, what happens if freedom of choice? All right, if you want to mandate that they can't come into work during flu season, I don't know. You guess you can do that. But I don't think it's a problem when you force people to put toxins in their body that they may have an injury to, that it may kill them. It's possible. Is it worth it?
I guess my problem with it is it's step one of how many steps.
Oh, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah. Once you get started, well, we mandated vaccines and we got away with that. Well, we're going to mandate everybody's going to have yellow hair. Well, we're going to mandate that everybody has Obamacare. Hello?
No, you're absolutely right. It's where does it stop? It's like a litmus test. If they get to do this, then they get to tell you, and they're already doing this in California, they can just give your child a vaccine and the child gives the consent. They just bypass the parents. They give them sex education. They give them vaccines. They give them contraceptives. They have a whole micro world in school that the parents really, unless they're paying close attention, have no idea what's going on.
And they do that with hospital.
Well, that's true. I mean, when you come in, part of the workup protocol is to do a workup for or give you vaccines for flu, to do blood cultures, whether or not you need them, to put you on prophylactically one of the most powerful antibiotics known to man. What is it? I'm drawing a blank on them. It's a bad day for me. But it's one of the antibiotics that can actually affect your hearing. I mean, because they worry about MRSA. Yet all of these protocols are in place, but you're more likely to get an opportunistic infection in a hospital than you are hanging out in your garage. So does it really work? All these mandates, nobody's really testing anything. Nobody's really looking at outcome. They're just throwing it up on a wall and see if it sticks. And I think everything should be thought about. Let's take, I know we have to take a break in a minute, but let's look at the actual, how they come to market business of these medicines, vaccines, etc. They're not tested on children sometimes. They're not tested on certain minority groups. We're not all genetically the same. We don't all react the same way to medicines. You know, some people are sensitive to certain compounds in medicines. It can't not be one size fits all. That is the problem with this type of system. If you are around, you know, a peg in a round hole kind of phenomenon, then they're just going to shove it down your throat. And if you do have a bad outcome, then there's no recourse. You just have to take it. You know, it's like this is part of what happens, and oh well. Well, if that's you or your child, how do you come back from that? For something that this year, for example, the flu vaccine is only, 25% effective because they didn't put the right ingredients in it, yet they're still shoving it like it's great.
I love it.
Take a flu shot.
Well, take it anyway. It's better than doing nothing.
Are you okay? You do it. But in actuality, if you were to take vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, get proper rest, wash your hands, make sure you stay away from other people who are sick, you probably would be, I know you would be less likely to get the flu. I can tell you that. So it's time for folks to start standing up for their rights. I mean, this is just a system that is designed to run you over forward and backward and tell you that it's a good thing. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you were able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will continue to rise while your health care choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We are committed to working with you. We specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome to Medicine on Call. I think that I'm not sure if everybody has noticed the temperature of the vaccine conversation has risen dramatically. It's in the same, you know, stratosphere now as gun control and health care. It's just another means of distraction if you really want to look at it at the big, in the big picture. As soon as you make something emotional and you disconnect it from reality and intellect, then it becomes a way to shut people up and to control them. That's the same playbook. This is the next iteration of what they want to do. I mean, this whole healthcare debate, it's all tied. You know, let's be frank. The education system, the healthcare system, they're all moving towards the same centralized paradigm where there's a, you know, Politburo of academics who never worked really doing the job that they said they were, that they know so much about. Let's talk about healthcare. If I hear one more person who's not a doctor, who doesn't practice medicine every day, who doesn't have to make payroll and treat their patients and with nothing because they just keep lowering our reimbursements, if that's not the person talking to me about healthcare, I don't care what they have to say because they don't know anything. It's the same people who will talk about your horrible parent. How do you arrest a parent for taking care of their child, for having the best interests of their child at heart, for asking questions? I mean, you're getting fired from pediatric practices now because you asked a question about a vaccine. I think every parent, if they really, really want to have a conversation with their pediatrician and actually take what they say, any doctor, forget the pediatricians, any doctor pushing a vaccine, ask them one question. Have you read the insert? Ask them that. If they have not, you need to take a step and walk out of that office because they do not have your best interest at heart. They're lazy. They don't care about what the consequences are. They just do what they're told. That is the worst office to, or hospital or any other healthcare providing entity to be in. This is a, medicine's an art. It's a learning craft. You just don't do things because someone tells you to do it. You do it because you have experience at it, you've read about it, you know what everything that you do has a cost and benefit risk ratio to it. If I write a prescription for somebody, I'm thinking about what could happen if a bad outcome happens, and is the benefit of doing it or writing the prescription worth the risk? That's in my mind every time I do something, every time I do a procedure, every time I order a test. You know, but CTs and MRIs, I mean, CTs have radiation associated with them. Is the benefit worth the risk? Should I get an ultrasound instead? Am I going to get the proper medical information I need to make a conscious, logical decision? It looks to me now that medicine has been disconnected from logic. It's now used as a social engineering device, and it is one more brick in this wall against individuality, personal choice, personal responsibility, and personal safety. They're taking it all out of your hands. Somebody knows what's best for you. You're too dumb to figure out what you need to live in this earth and how you need to protect yourself. Someone else has that. They got this. Then they don't have this. If that were really the case and you were wanting to give up all of your rights and freedoms, then we should be living a hell of a lot better existence than we're living right now. It doesn't work. People are sicker. They're on more medications. They're being bankrupted by the healthcare system. If this was so awesome, then we should have people who are healthier, who are on less medications, who don't need to go to the hospital more often, who are living longer, productive lives. That's not what's going on. If we allow this to happen, Dave, I believe there would be in a system where someone gets to decide, really, from cradle to grave, what you put in your body, what you can say, how you should think, how you should act, and when you should die. It will no longer be you deciding any of these, or your parents deciding any of these things. And I think the bullies who are trying to shut people up and dumb us down and make us feel small really need to be called out. Ask these guys, call them up on their radio shows, on their, you know, send them emails. They all love their tweets and their Facebook. Why don't we ask them, have you read the insert? Do you know exactly what you're talking about? Do you vaccinate your kids? Put them on the spot for a change, and I bet you you'll get a different response. They act like they're pronouncing that they're such experts on stuff. This is an agenda. That Super Bowl, that's an agenda. I look at the commercials. The only good one was a little puppy, which I really love, from Budweiser. But the rest of it was anti-men. It was victimology of women. It was just, it was, you can just see it. What they're trying to just infiltrate through the media and through the system. They know this is one of the most watched, you know, media events in the whole year. And they were on it. I mean, practically every commercial was just something trying to tell me how to think or how I should feel as a woman. I don't feel like a victim. You know, throwing like a girl, that whole commercial about throwing like a girl or not, and it was just ridiculous, honestly. So the next thing is going to be this vaccine push. They didn't get gun control going too well, but they're just hitting all, they just kind of wear us down. Don't you feel like you're getting hit from all angles? And eventually they figure it'll just, we'll just wear out and just say, okay, I don't care, I give up. Never. That's never going to happen.
You know, this is like being on a ranch at in the spring or in the fall when you bring all the calves in, and they're doing it exactly like a rancher does it. You bring them in, you dehorn them, you castrate them, and you vaccinate them. The poor, dumb little calves, they have no idea what they're fixing to get into. You put them into a chute, you lock them down, you give them a shot, you dehorn them, you castrate the bulls, and you let them go.
Like a little conveyor belt, huh?
Yeah. I mean, we had it down to a science of, you know, how fast we could do a calf, you know? And this is exactly, you know, we hear the term lambs to slaughter. Well, that's what they're trying to do to us. And, you know,
doing a good job right now.
Yeah, and I'm not going to get into an argument over yes or no on vaccines. I agree with you, but, you know, but the mandating is where I have a
right.
problem.
It's,
that's
it's,
where I am.
There's a lot of things to, you know, from a virological, immunological standpoint, academically, they work. They're a good thing. But they're not the end-all, be-all for everybody and everything. It just doesn't make sense. And people need to understand, if you get a measles vaccine or varicella chickenpox vaccine, you're not protected forever. First of all, you actually may get it with the vaccine. They already tell you that in the insert. But the second thing is that immunity that's conferred is not as good as when you get it. Literally, you have the disease. You have antibodies. I get tested to this day when I have to re-credential, whether I have mumps, because I've had them all. My titers are off the chart. I will never get measles or mumps, chicken pox. And they make it sound like everybody gets shingles. Shingles is not that common. And maybe it's more common because all these folks are getting vaccines and screwing up their immune system.
Wait a second. When Terry Bradshaw gets on, the football player, and says, I've had shingles.
Yeah, okay.
He's an ex-pro football player.
Terry Bradshaw's going to run my medical life? Really? I mean, we need to stop idolizing these people. They are paid spokesmen. They are mouthpieces. I don't care if they're in the news media or celebrities, or the Congress. They don't matter. They're being paid to say what people, for powers that be, want them to say. I wonder if Terry Bradshaw actually had it, or if he's just a paid spokesman just to make it look good. I don't know. But I know I've had it, and I know that I can never get it again, mumps and measles. Maybe I can get shingles, but I really have to be immunologically suppressed. Completely stressed out of my mind. And I don't still understand how a vaccine for chickenpox, after you've had it, is going to help. I still don't understand medically how that works. Really? The bottom line is, when you get a disease, you are more protected than a vaccine.
Can you continually have shingles, or can you have it once and it's over with?
No, I mean, you have it once, and then it goes away. But once you have these things, they're in your body. That's the true statement on that commercial. Once you've had chickenpox, you always have it.
No, but I mean as far as shingles.
No, that's just a re-up or reactivation of the chickenpox showing up on the skin. So it is part and parcel to having been exposed and having chickenpox. But you can have it more than once. So you can have it maybe once every 10 years, once every... It depends on what's going on with your system. And technically speaking, seniors and young children would be more susceptible, mostly seniors, because their immune systems are not as robust. But I'm convinced, really, part of our problem is what we're eating, all the toxins we're exposed to, these shots that everybody keeps shoving on folks every year. There's a consequence to taking a vaccine. Yes, it may be protective, and in some instances, it's much better than getting the disease itself. I'm not going to argue that. I think that's completely true. But the things that they put in the vaccine, like mercury, like aluminum, like these are toxins that are neurotoxic, that rev up the immune system. And there has to be, by definition, because we're so varied across our human race, that some people can't tolerate it, that it's going to affect them differently than the norm. And to ignore that it ever happens is not right. I mean, everybody should, if you do something, you should know all the benefits and risks. I can't do a surgery and just do it. I have to tell people the benefits and the risks so they can make up their own mind. That's what we're talking about. Not that it should be taken off the market. Not that you should never get a vaccine. But you need to have informed consent. This is not informed consent. They're telling you, do it or else. Do it or you suck as a parent. Do it or we'll arrest you. That's not informed consent. That's duress. And even for the folks who say, well, somebody coming in with the measles is hurting the whole population, it's not. It can't be true if your premise is that it's protective. If I got my vaccine and you came in with measles, I'd be, oh, big deal. I've got the measles. You can't give it to me. They're making it sound like somebody who's not immunized can infect everybody in the population. Well, 90% of the population is immunized against measles and mumps. How is it possible that we have all these outbreaks? Either one, it doesn't work, or two, they're hyping it, or three, these aren't people who, you know, we talked about this in the summer, all the new people that came into the country who weren't vaccinated from South America, Central America, Africa, you name it. It was like a free-for-all through the south border. Maybe it's these folks that are getting sick. Are they really telling us who are the people? You know? So like, you can't enter school without a vaccination, even though there's questions of whether that's true or not, nor that mandate. Their story doesn't hold together. You have herd immunity, then it doesn't matter if a couple people have it because the herd is protected. They're making it sound like the herd will die if one person comes in. It's illogical. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that nasal stuffiness can cause snoring and decrease the amount of oxygen that your body receives? A decrease in oxygen to the brain can cause problems with memory and concentration, and in severe cases, it can cause stroke. A decrease in oxygen to the heart can lead to high blood pressure, and in severe cases, a heart attack. Nasal stuffiness can be caused by exposure to irritants such as dust, mold, pollution, and chemicals. It can also be caused by exposure to trees, grass, and certain foods such as corn, wheat, eggs, soy, milk, and various meats. Medical treatment with nasal sprays and or antihistamines that don't cause drowsiness can alleviate the congestion. It is important not to use over-the-counter spray decongestants since they can be addictive and actually make breathing more difficult. See your doctor for a complete evaluation of your nose. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps, a chronic sinus infection, or allergies that are either undertreated or have never been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we use state-of-the-art equipment so you can see the problem. You'll be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment, because we believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. We specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery, correction of a nasal septal deviation, and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office, getting you back to work the next day. And you can rest assured that all options will be discussed before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Before the break, we were talking about logic and all the pronouncements of herd immunity and how everybody needs to be vaccinated. But the theory behind herd immunity is that if a majority of the public has been immunized against whatever, then outliers coming in with the disease should not have any effect on the herd. That's the whole point of it. That's why they keep shoving it down people's throats. But the rhetoric is opposite. The rhetoric is now, if somebody has it, then they're putting everybody in the population at risk, which cannot be possible. It can't be. I mean, they're immunizing children in our country from birth. They give them the hepatitis B vaccine. This is another thing of medical tyranny. The child's immune system is not even set yet. There is no benefit to giving them a vaccine, even if it were going to work, because their immune systems are so nascent. They'd be better off having the mother breastfeed. That's what we should be, you know, encouraging people to do. That's going to confer more immunity on the child than giving them a vaccine. That only really applies to people who are IV drug users, you know, same sex, you know, having sex with other people of your same sex, or being a healthcare worker. I don't think an infant is in high risk of hepatitis B, yet that, and even in the rest of their life, they may not be. And they're giving them that as a vaccine. Why? I mean, there is no reason behind that at all. Right? So what else are they going to give them when it comes down to when they come up with the new ones? The HIV vaccine has been bandied about. I'm sure they're going to come up with that at some point. You've got Ebola lurking. You've got all sorts of things that potentially, maybe a vaccine for anti-smoking. Or there's one I've heard that they're in the process of making to keep you from getting angry. You know, basically it's just to control your outburst, you know, to make you more compliant. What else are they going to come up with that they're going to mandate? You need to think about what if, not what is. What is bad enough. It's what if. And if they get to say everybody needs to get it, or you can't hold a job, you can't go to school, you know, you're going to be arrested because you are putting everybody at risk, whether it's true or not, then we need to think about that. And we're setting the stage for that to be the standard. No one's going to like that when that happens. And God forbid the vaccine manufacturers come up quickly with something that's not tested that there's an issue with, and they figure it out years after they've had it on the market and X number of people have been shot up with it, and then it's an oh well. I look at Gardasil as a perfect example of that. That's one of the it's an interesting vaccine because it has a lot of side effects immediately. Passing out, seizures, what's up, Guillain-Barré, neurological disorders. There also may be issues with reproduction down the road, but these children are 12, 13. We won't know yet what happens to them reproductively until they get older. Suppose they find out that you took the Gardasil and now you're sterile, or you have issues with reproduction. Who's going to fix it? That's changing someone's entire life based on a vaccine that was never completely tested. And that the cervical cancer affects 4,000 women in our country a year. 4,000 out of over 300 million people. And it's usually cleared 90% of the time by the person's own immune system. The people who die from that particular cancer are people who don't take care of themselves, are immunocompromised, never go to the doctor, and yet they wanted to take away the doctor's screening for cervical cancer because it wasn't necessary. What's going on with this system that you don't want to do real prevention or do real screening because it's too costly, but you want to give someone a vaccine that's never been tested, you don't know what the side effects are? We've seen some children come out and they're damaged or they die from the vaccine, and yet it's okay. I want to know why I need to take something. In my personal experience, or in my life as a person who's going to receive it, is it going to benefit me? Am I at high risk for the problem? Do I really need it? That's what people should ask themselves. I mean, it's not even a tough call. It's really about personal choice. I don't think that I don't trust somebody who doesn't live it, breathe it, know what they're talking about to tell me that I should do something. I just don't.
I think that's the whole point. And it comes back, everything you said, it comes back to one word, and that's mandate. Our law, our system, is based on history. And, you know, you go to fight a case, two attorneys go to fight, they look up what happened in the past, mm-hmm. and they try to relate. So once we get the word mandate into, which we've got in Obamacare, mm-hmm. and once they start being able to mandate, I started to do one of my cracks, my wise-ass things, and say, well, if they mandate this, then they ought to mandate that everybody go see American Sniper. And then I started thinking, once they mandate anything, then the next thing could be they tell you what you can watch. They tell you what clothes you can wear. They tell you, you know, and it's just like the death panels. They mandate when you live and die. And it's got to be stopped.
It should be stopped it should have been stopped long ago, but it needs to be stopped at this point. This is now another log, another foundation point in this new healthcare system. I mean, I'm talking about Obamacare. Everybody who listens to this show should know the ins and outs by now. But for those who may be new to the show, the Obamacare pathway, that system is designed to centralize control, to take away you and your doctor's freedom of medical decision-making. There are now laws that are starting to come online. In New York, there was one that they wanted to allow for doctors for assisted suicide or for patients to commit suicide with the help of a doctor. I mean, they can just go and I'll write you a prescription for morphine or whatever. They want to do that in New York, I think, because they've, you know, greasing the roads, making it easier for euthanasia to be the go-to option for people who are deemed to have diseases that are too expensive and not worth living with. But it's not the individual who gets to decide this. It's the government. So it's kind of like the opposite of the Terri Schiavo. Well, no, maybe it's like the same thing as the Terri Schiavo case, basically. Instead of the government, instead of the family having choice here, the government is making it easier for hospitals, for doctors, and trying to educate, social engineer the patient and the family to give up, to say, well, you are 70, you do have some disease, and maybe we should just make you comfortable because, you know, it wasn't that way before. I mean, it became, life was the most important thing to try to prolong. I mean, quality of life is important. I'm not going to say that it's not. But my quality of life is, my concept of it is not yours, perhaps. And if I say to you, well, you know, you've already lived your life, you're taking it from me, you're the person who's making the pot smaller and making it cost more, so you need to die, that's a whole different mentality and energy than somebody saying, I want to have my loved one not be stuck and poked and prodded, and the person saying, I want to be comfortable, I just want to be treated with dignity. That's kind of a different energy. It's somebody saying you're not worth it, as opposed to somebody making their own decision on what their quality of life is worth. It's just a different take on it. But once you make that decision that somebody's an enemy to the system because they're costing me too much money, then you change it to a mercenary, bioethicist-driven system that it's not about health and care. It's about money. And this is the worst part of our system right now. They've indoctrinated people to think that the government cares, that the generalized pooling of insurance resources centrally will help everybody. It won't. All it does is take away from more people, centralize the money and the power in the system that's broken in the first place, and makes your doctor your enemy, if you have one. I mean, that's also going to happen here because doctors are going to be sucked out of the system. It's already happening. this whole new pronounce, for example, the pronouncement that they're going to get rid of fee-for-service and move to bundled payments, it's not going to save money. What it will do is make your doctor close their office if they're independent, stop doing other things that they're doing now that they could still afford to do, so they don't, their scope of practice will shrink, and it'll take longer to get in to see whoever's left standing. And then they're going to have to, which I read the other day, some article where somebody was championing extenders. We need more nurse practitioners. We need more physician assistants, as if it was equal to going to a doctor. It's different. It's not the same. We're not trained the same way. And I feel for the nurses, too, because they're now put in a position where they're outside of their scope of practice. They're working, especially in hospitals, where they've gone from a 7-to-1 ratio of patient to nurse to 12-to-1 ratio. And the registered nurses are not the front line anymore. They're the administrators. They're doing case management. They're pencil pushers. They're making sure the hospital gets the patient in, gets them out, gets documentation so they can get paid. Those are people who used to give care to the patient. The doctors are your doctor, if they admit you, have no say on what happens to you because you end up in a hospitalist care where they're just contract labor to the hospital and all they care about is getting through their next shift. I can't tell you how many times I've been consulted by somebody who made the consult. When you call them up to ask about the patient, they tell you, I don't know the patient, I'm just covering. Well, how are you going to call a consult? You don't know what you're asking, why you want it, but you're just, it was your work list. It's a work list now. You have the sickest people now in the hospital than you'd ever, ever had. You have them being cared for by the least experienced with people who don't know them. I think that's a recipe for a disaster. No wonder the outcomes in the hospitals are not great. You know, that you're more likely to get a disease or some sort of opportunistic infection. Because you're like a football. You're passed along. Your doctor admits you. I talked to somebody. I did a speech for AAPS a couple of months, like last month. And I spoke with an oncologist. And this was tragic, but this is just, this is how the system now works. His patient ended up in an ER and admitted. The patient told the doctor, or told the hospital who the doctor was. They never called the doctor. The patient was put on hospice. No, didn't. The guy was functional. Outside, yeah, he got a little sick, a little infection, but they didn't even bother to call the oncologist. Put the man on hospice and on morphine. And then the family calls up the doctor after the patient's gone and asks, I thought he was going to be okay. You told, I mean, unbelievable. So once that patient ends up in the hospital, you lose total control of your patient. They are now in this system where they're going to make you comfortable and slide you on out and not even bother to tell the doctor who their primary care doctor is. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because I believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that's individualized. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing or your child has frequent throat infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual, not an ailment. During your visit, you'll not be rushed, and all of your questions will be answered. And when possible, I will recommend natural treatments to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. If you'd like to make an appointment, call 404-591-9100 or reach us on the web at www.peachtreeentcenter.com.
Did you miss the show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that wellness and prevention is the key to living a long and healthy life? For example, common diseases such as acid reflux, high cholesterol, non-insulin-dependent diabetes, and high blood pressure in some cases are caused by poor nutrition. Scientific studies suggest the use of nutritional supplements, a healthy diet, and exercise can control and, in some cases, prevent disease. Use nutritional supplements that are formulated using good manufacturer practice standards. And remember to let your doctor know what you are taking, since it can react with prescription medication. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Before the break, we were talking about real world, you know, real consequences for centralization of power, of medical decision power, making power. And it's the good of the many that'll outweigh the needs of the few. And it's not going to be driven by doctors who have to take care of patients and are on the front line. And we've talked about this. It's so huge that you can't even get your mind around how this is like a small puzzle that's been, pieces have been going into place so slowly over the last 20 years. I don't think anybody's really noticed it. Medical education is one of the underpinnings as well. That's changed. I mean, Dr. Orion has come on and said that even doctors don't take, some medical schools don't take the Hippocratic Oath, or they've made up their own. And when I took mine, no euthanasia, no abortifacients, so you can't do abortions. That's pretty clear in my oath. Those are gone now in lots of oaths. And when that happens, you become, as a doctor, ripe for becoming used as an agent. And you, by definition, have no choice. If you take a payroll from a hospital or the government, if you do run afoul of it, they will get rid of you. Maintenance of certification is one way to make us toe the line. The second one is peer review. Peer review is probably one of the least democratic things you could possibly come up with, where some unknown, faceless person brings a charge against you for something really dumb, most of the time. Maybe you didn't say good morning. Someone was offended. That's a hostile work environment. Then you get this thing on your record, which follows you everywhere because they do searches on you. And if you have any kind of negative mark against your person, and then we're not talking about malpractice. We're talking about peer review. You may not be able to get on staff in a hospital. You may not be able to re-up your certification for your license renewal. Who knows? Now they're trying to make this a federal licensure, where it's one license all over the country. That is the end of medicine, if they do that, because they will absolutely mandate that doctors take Medicaid, Medicare, Obamacare. I'm telling you what's going to happen. And when that happens, you will get the worst doctor known to man. You might as well just doctor on yourself. Sorry, what's a doctor on yourself?
Or go to the Indian medicine man.
Really, leave the country, because they're going to be working 24/7 to pull plugs on people. That sounds really awful. But it's true. It's about vaccinating the hell out of you when you really get sick and need them, saying that you're too old for that hip replacement because it's not really medically necessary. We'll put you in rehab or put you in hospice so you can be comfortable. People are ending up in hospitals and in hospices in their 40s now for medical conditions that are treatable. This is the unknown secret that no one talks about. But this is a warehouse situation. Your insurance company is making buku bucks on you. They're charging you premiums out the wazoo. They don't have to be responsible for the first dime until you come up with a minimum of $2,500, $5,000, $10,000. All they're doing is collecting. And when you finally, God forbid, make your deductible and you need something, they will come up with some excuse why it's not medically necessary, it was coded incorrectly. You just told me a story about somebody who had a surgery, and I know exactly what happened. The doctor got pre-certification, told them why they wanted to do it, got the approval from the insurance company. This happens to us all the time. And then after the procedure is done, when they're waiting for payment, they get a letter saying it wasn't medically necessary and it's not covered. And they have no recourse. And then they end up saying to the patient, I'm sorry, but you owe for this surgery now because we got denied. Or you know what really happens too is because they're contracted with the insurance company, they actually cannot go to the patient and ask for the money because by contract, if the insurance company denies it, the doctor can't get it. So they've basically just eaten the bill. And if they're solo and independent, that's payroll for that month, or that, you know, that's a piece of equipment that you can't buy.
The one I love is that the insurance company demands that you send an X-ray or proof of need.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And then they come back and deny the fact that, well, you didn't need to do an X-ray, so we're not paying for that.
Well,
it's a circle.
It really is. Or my favorite is you get denied and you reappeal, and you end up talking, finally getting a doctor who's not in your specialty. I've spoken with psychiatrists. I've spoken with pediatricians who don't know anything about what I want to do surgically, and it's outrageous. And the other flip side is the person, this is my absolute favorite, the person who denied the procedure, the balloon sinuplasty, for example, does it and wrote papers on it and talked about the efficacy of it, but denied it because they work for the company. This is what we deal with. This is not healthcare, folks. If you want to have healthcare, you need to have a direct relationship and contract with your physician alone. Direct pay practices are the way to go. I can't emphasize that enough. And medical cost sharing is the second line of defense to make sure you can afford to do what you want to do. If you have these big box insurance companies running the show, this whole system is built on no competition, no choice, one size fits all. If you don't like it, tough. That's what the system's built on. And then it's built secondarily on mandates, so you have to choose it. They want you to think, for example, that you can only have an insurance, otherwise you die. That's what people... It's great marketing. Everybody thinks that. They're shocked and appalled now that they've gone into this Obamacare system and realized, hey, I have an insurance card, but nobody will take it. Or I can't afford to even go to the doctor because it's too expensive. That was brilliant marketing. I don't know who runs it, but they did a great job. And now we need to really educate ourselves that there is life outside of insurance. Better. There's better medical care outside of insurance. There is privacy outside of insurance. You know, the government knows exactly what we put in our electronic medical record. It gets swept. Now I have a new medical record system that we just put online in our office. And one of the perks of it is that when people come, it populates into their chart by the knowledge base from the pharmacy. So I put their pharmacy in. I'll know every medicine they were ever prescribed in the history. It's great when people don't know what they're on, but do I really need to know all that? Or if I get hacked, who else will know all that? So you can imagine this transparent system where the FBI, Homeland Security, HHS, they all can access this database, one for fraud, because if you get a subsidy, they need to make sure that you actually made what you said you made, otherwise you're committing fraud. So they need to have access to our system. What else do they have? If you're on, I use the example, I'm going to use it again. If I give you Wellbutrin, which is an antidepressant to help you stop smoking, I'm giving it to you because I want you to stop smoking. They only see Wellbutrin, and that's used for depression, so that person has a diagnosis by default of depression. What happens if you want to get a government job? What happens if you want to get a gun legally? You've just been dinged with having a mental issue by default. No one really looks and goes through the chart. They're looking at the medicines, the diagnosis. It's metadata. It is so much that they get from us that they can potentially use it against you. Why wouldn't they? This is what they're telling us they want to do. Why are we so naive to think that they won't do it? And it's the inadvertent, the mistake, somebody keying in the wrong medicine. Let's say it wasn't even Wellbutrin. It was supposed to be something else, but they hit the wrong button, but they didn't catch it. So now you have mistakes in your medical record that you cannot erase. This is why the system potentially will work against patients. It'll work against doctors, because now people make it sound like you can... Everything's going to be sweetness and light with an electronic medical record system, but somebody who's doing 50, 60 patients a day to get it done will do templates, will maybe not change some of the things, not catch things to update, and you end up having all sorts of mixed-matched information in people's charts. Everybody's human. I mean, think of the worst that can happen. That's what should drive policy, not we just want to control everything. That doesn't even make sense.
You know, yesterday I was taking this. I'm no longer taking it, but it's still on the record
sure.
that I took it.
Absolutely.
And so I'm not going to give you this drug because it may have a reaction with the drug that you're not even taking or you haven't taken in the last 3 years. Well, it's not going to, but it's there on your record.
That's true. I mean, and or you can be dinged for having a diagnosis that you don't have, and it follows you everywhere. You don't even know what happened. Why?
It's like trying to erase a bad credit report or something.
Yeah.
When it wasn't your fault, somebody stole your ID.
It's true. I mean, it doesn't tell you what happened in the person's life. It just gives a number. So you had a death in the family. You had to take care of everybody. You had to stop working to take care of a loved one, and your bills got behind. That is not the same thing as somebody who just games the system. But you get painted with the same brush. That's a perfect example. It's one size fits all. They think of you the worst of you. You're the worst person in the world. You can't unprove it. And we're not talking about, I mean, your credit is really important. Your health is just as important. If we continue to let people decide for us, you know, how to live our lives, what we can say, how we can interact with each other, we will end up behind the eight ball. I mean, this is not going to end well for anybody. And we wonder why doctors are leaving the profession, why they're committing suicide, why they really have just turned out. I'm just going to do what I'm told and just get home and get it done and get my paycheck. Medicine is not designed to work that way. And now they're going to tell us, if they have the chance, that we have to do something. You have to see these patients. You have to see this many per day. You have to have this certain outcome or you won't be paid. Who in their right mind would be a doctor? Nobody. And you're going to end up having a system where people could care less. They have no empathy. You're going to pay for the privilege of somebody telling you what you can't have. And it's time now, again, this is the mantra of this year, is you need to stand up and take back power over your person. And I say we call all these people out, contact these folks, and ask them these questions. And, you know, I wish everybody, you know, health, happiness, and I hope you all have a good day. And I want to thank you for listening to Medicine on Call. I will see you, or you'll hear from me, next week.
This is America's Web Radio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.